Hello and welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs, and today I am joined with a very special guest. We have Jessica Castle from Dexcom, and we are going to talk all things Dexcom today, all things Dexcom CGM. So Jessica, we are so excited to have you. And if you don't mind just introducing yourself and a little bit maybe about your role within Dexcom.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much for having me today. Super excited to be here. I'm Jessica Castle. I'm the Vice President of Medical Affairs at Dexcom. I am an adult endocrinologist by training. So prior to joining Dexcom, I was the Associate Director of the Harold Snitzer Diabetes Health Center at Oregon Health and Science University. So I had the opportunity to care for people living with type 1 or type 2 diabetes for many years before joining Dexcom.
Awesome. Well, I'm so glad you're here with me today. And I'm going to start off. It's been really exciting with the Dexcom G7 15-day launch. I know my patients have been really excited about it. And like so far, it seems like things are going really smoothly. I'm just wondering, though, if you can share any insight into, I don't know, possible growth within the sensor. For example, like we know right now, it's for adults, like any plans that may be expanded to kids. We also know, it's been fortunately integrated with most insulin pumps. We're still, I think, waiting on the official go-to from Tandem, but anything you can share with us.
Yeah. So maybe I'll talk a little bit about what G7 15 day is. So it's our, newest CGM system. It lasts for up to 15 and a half days. It is the most accurate sensor, so it had a mean absolute relative difference of 8%. And we published some data on that in Diabetes Technology and Therapeutics if people are interested in all of the accuracy details. And we launched it at the end of last year. We have many thousands of patients using it and have great feedback around the sensor, and both in using it outside of integrated systems or, as you mentioned, in AID systems. Should hear more details soon about integration with Tandem. For the G7 15-day, as you mentioned, it's just for adults at this moment in time. We really want to make sure we have the best product for children. Keeping CGM systems on children is much more challenging, in particular in how active they are. And so we want to make sure we have the best product for children before we launch a 15-day product for kids. So no news at this point in terms of the timing of exactly when that will be. But we've had great feedback around the G7 15-day for adults.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I agree. My patients have been very happy with it. It's been a very smooth transition, especially it works with the same app, that's been so smooth that they don't have to download anything else. And you guys keep making good innovations with the app too. So I very much appreciate that. I was curious, I remember, first reading when G7 15-day came out that a certain number of sensors would make it the full 15 days and then some wouldn't. So are you able to talk about any efforts underway to kind of ensure that the sensors are, we know not every sensor is always going to make it, right? But any efforts that are being done to ensure that as many as possible make it that full 15 days?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, and it's a challenge with all CGM systems, including G7 15-day, but for having sensors last the full period of time. One of the points that we want to make sure that we optimize really is around the adhesive. And so we've made improvements, and people may have noticed last year we improved the adhesive, and we're doing that again this year. And so it's, of course, a balance of making sure that it's sticky enough that it stays for the full time, but doesn't cause any reactions. And so we have a new adhesive patch that's coming out later this year. So excited for that to be available for people on the G7 15-day.
Oh, that's awesome. So that's going to be the patch like underneath it. And then are you also changing the overlay too, or is that going to stay the same?
For right now, that's staying the same, but that's definitely something that we're always looking to improve as well. And so more to come on that.
Okay, awesome. Great. Well, I also wanted to talk a little bit about the new smart basal feature, because, we heard about this a little bit at ATTD. And I think this is amazing because we, you know, so many people get stuck on insulin glargine 10 units. Like they finally get started on insulin, type 2 diabetes, because they need it. And then they're just stuck on that dose. Like a year goes by and nobody increased their dose. So it sounds like Smart Basal is really going to help with that. Can you talk a little bit about it?
Yes. Yeah. So this feature was recently cleared. It will be on the G715. So coming soon to a G715 day near you. This feature works in that the healthcare provider puts in settings. This is done through the Clarity portal. So they're able to indicate what they want the starting dose to be, how much they want to allow the system to adjust per day. And then if, for example, if the patient experiences a low glucose, then how much they'd like the insulin dose to decrease. And then it will, they give up the patient a code that then allows them to activate the system on their G715 day. It's first going to be with U100 glargine insulin, and we anticipate adding additional insulins in the future. And then as the patient goes off from the visit, then the system will recommend a new dose every day for the patient. So for example, and it's looking to minimize hyperglycemia and minimize hypoglycemia. And so every day the patient will get a new dose until at what point then the system decides that the dose is optimized, and then the program will end at that point and the patient will be recommended to continue to use that dose. And as you know, that this is something that's really hard for both healthcare providers and for, you know, people with diabetes to titrate their insulin. And as you mentioned, in a lot of cases, people end up just being on one dose. So the benefit here is that the person with diabetes gets a new dose and they're very supported in being able to optimize their insulin dose, but also for the healthcare provider to reduce the burden on them to have to field phone calls like, what do? I had a hypoglycemic episode, or my glucose levels are still high, you know, and no longer do you have to then give people a scale to say, hey, I want you to do a fasting finger stick every day and then take the average over 3 days and then, you know, use this scale that I've printed out for you to then try to figure out how much insulin to take. I think that was overly complicated for healthcare providers and for people with diabetes. And so I think this solves that need. It's still supported by your healthcare provider, but the app is continuing to address, and minimize hyperglycemia and hypoglycemia.
Yeah, I was really impressed. Sean Oser had presented some cases at ATTD on how this works. And I just it just looks so much better than, yeah, the old like finger stick methods, where also like people weren't even always checking all the time. So you don't even know if your data that you're getting, like, you know, maybe they're only checking on the days they feel like they ate healthier, or like, who knows, right? So this seems like it'd be a lot more accurate as well, like having the CGM trends in there.
For sure. And so we also presented a poster at ATTD and showed that we had people wear, you know, G7 for 10 days, and then they went through titration for up to 35 days, and then they wore G7 for another 20 days. And then we compared that baseline 10 days to the final 20 days when they were on the final insulin dose, and saw, you know, improvements in more than 40 milligrams per deciliter in terms of mean glucose, and time and range improvements by more than 20 percentage points. So really impressive improvements in both mean glucose and time and range with very little hypoglycemia. So the system is both, you know, safe in that it was able to titrate insulin without increasing hypoglycemia, but also very effective in terms of lowering mean glucose and increasing time and range.
Wow. Yeah, that is awesome. I'm also wondering if you could talk a little bit about some of the mobile app updates, because I was recently like wearing Estelo again, and I was like, wow, like I'm taking pictures of my food and now like the nutrition information is like it just knows it. And then like with the Dexcom G7, like the trends tab is in there. It just seems like kind of quietly all of these new features are in there. And so I'm curious if you can talk a little more about that, and maybe if you're able to touch on what's coming as well.
Yeah. So let me talk first maybe a little bit about Stelo. So Stelo is our over-the-counter CGM system. So for people without diabetes, people with prediabetes, or type 2 diabetes not on insulin. And And the Stelo app is a little different than our like G7 app, right? So it's really designed for those populations. So it includes things like spike detection. So if you, for example, like I ate sushi while wearing a Stelo and I had a big spike after that, and I learned that in a lot of sushi rice, they add sugar, which I didn't know even as a healthcare provider until I experienced that and thought, okay, well, maybe sashimi for me is a better choice than sushi. But now, so we have them both G7 and on Stelo, the opportunity to take photos, and the AI on the background then provides the meal description, and then you can edit it and log it. So it makes it really easy to log meals, both in, you know, our G series products, but then also our Stelo product. But then on top of that, in Stelo, you can also get the macronutrient information. So like a calorie breakdown, how many carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. And so I think that's going to really help then support people. One of the things we've seen with CGM is that it is a very powerful behavior modification tool. And so having that, and I think people historically has been shown that if you log meals and things like calorie information, that helps with weight loss for people that are trying to lose weight. But that's hard to do. Like I know I've heard that in the past and tried to write down food just to help, you know, continue to eat healthy. And it's like hard to do that day in and day out. And so these type of tools just make it so much easier for people to be able to log meals and do things like count up carbohydrate content.
Yeah, I completely agree. Cause it's like, even the apps out there where you could like log your food and then like look it up, it just, I don't know, it just feels like it takes a long time to like type it in and like look it up versus this, like you literally take the picture and then it knows. I mean, I've been very impressed how well it knows, even with food mixed together. It's like it knows what the things are. It's, yeah, it's been very impressive.
Well, I'm glad that you enjoyed it. And I, you know, I'm so happy that it's a tool out there for so many users. And I do think this is something that we're going to continue to evolve. We have insights right now, right, where it looks at things at time and range, et cetera. But as we go look forward to the future, that's something that we're going to continue to drive more and more insights using AI. Of course, it's a balance where we want to make sure it's trusted information. And so we're cautious about how we release those features. But AI has really transformed how we're able to provide insights to our users. So I'm excited for what the future holds in terms of better supporting people in their lifestyle changes.
Yeah. And I think like some of the key is just getting the word out there about these newer features, because I know I'm really trying to encourage my patients, like if you want to know how a food impacted you, just take that picture and then you'll get that before and after. And that's hugely helpful for kind of making decisions on maybe how much to eat or what to eat for the next meal.
Yeah, so true. And I think sometimes people are surprised. I know when I, you know, many, many, many years ago, when I first started using CGM in my patients, people were so surprised at how they responded to breakfast cereal, right? People had the idea that, you know, was a healthy choice, but then they'd see if it's something that was like, you know, a very simple carbohydrate, they would have a big spike after breakfast cereal. And so like, I need to make a different choice for breakfast.
Yeah, definitely. That is a classic one. And I am like guilty of that too, because I grew up on cereal and I just, you see all the nutrients and it just seems like such a healthy meal, and it's unfortunately not. So I'm curious, you know, as we're trying to, like, I'm very much CGM for all, like hashtag CGM for all. I see the benefits. I've been using it for so many years in my patients and seeing the benefits in all kinds of people, even people on no medications, right? So I'm curious, is there any like recent information or newer information publications on how CGM may impact some of these more, I guess, higher cost ticket items like hospitalizations, like emergency department visits, maybe severe hypoglycemia, like any new information out there?
Yeah, so great question. You know, at ATTD, we presented an abstract on DKA in people with type 1 diabetes, both pediatrics and adults. And this was using a retrospective claim analysis and saw really significant reductions. For example, for children, this was looking at the year before starting CGM, Dexcom CGM, and the year after, with a reduction of more than 90%. So I think it just demonstrates how powerful a tool is like CGM to help reduce the risk of things like DKA. We've had many other similar analyses and also demonstrated that in people with type 2 diabetes, also reducing the risk of hospitalization. So I think, you know, I'm also very much a proponent for CGM for all, both for people with type 1 diabetes and type 2 diabetes. And there's building evidence around, for example, even, you know, people with type 2 diabetes not on insulin. So we presented some data at ATTD, and we call it our U.S. registry. So we provided the Dexcom G7 devices, but otherwise it was not like a traditional clinical trial in terms of like, you know, extra follow-up visits. These were people that were in their, you know, typical standard of care, seeing their healthcare provider. And so this was a group of just people with type 2 diabetes, not on insulin. And we saw over a year time, you know, more than a 0.6% reduction in A1C with using the Dexcom G7. And also people tended to lose weight. And as you know, that's a challenge, right, is to both optimize glucose, but also help with weight loss as well. And, you know, that can be a combination, for example, of different medication choices like GLP-1s or dual agonists or SGLT2 inhibitors, but also very much so lifestyle choices. And so CGM can really provide the benefit of both, of being able to select the right medications, titrate them, but also minimize medications and help people make different lifestyle choices.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I think we're in this era now, like in type 2 diabetes, at least, where it's like GLP-1, everything. And there's definitely a lot of excitement in terms of everything in the pipeline, like a triple agonist and more oral options and more dual agonists coming. Is there any other recent studies like showing the benefit of CGM with these therapies and how maybe we can further increase time in range or further improve outcomes compared to maybe just the drug alone?
Yeah. So we also at ATTD presented some data on tirzepatide. And so looked at A1C reductions, both in people on basal insulin and on intensive insulin, and demonstrated an improvement in A1C on both of those. And in terms of future studies, we currently have an RCT going on with Dexcom CGM in people with type 2 diabetes, not on insulin. So we have more information to share in upcoming meetings to really demonstrate the value of Dexcom CGM in these different populations.
You know, speaking of different populations, I guess I'm a little curious about pregnancy as well. So I work a lot in pregnancy, and I was thrilled when Dexcom G7 had the clearance for use in pregnancy, and we're certainly using it a lot more. I've noticed in the last year, we've had multiple publications now in gestational diabetes, really showing the benefits. But you know what population seems to be lacking a little is pre-existing type 2 diabetes and pregnancy. And I mean, we're using it in clinic, but I'm curious, like, if you can share, are there any studies underway or any recent published data you're aware of that is out there?
Yeah, I would say that this is definitely a data gap. I think all of us are convinced that we know that it works so well in type 2 diabetes outside of pregnancy, and, you know, in during pregnancy, of course, you know, really tight glycemic control is even more important during pregnancy. And so I think there's lots of people that are using it in that situation. I think we do have additional studies that in the future that we'll be able to report out on this particular topic. And I know there is currently also a process underway to do a meta-analysis in gestational diabetes. And so more data to come on that to really, because there are so many studies that have been done and published, but in sometimes with mixed results, I think, depending on what the patient population was and what the intervention was. And I think the power of doing a meta-analysis is to bring all that together to really have clarity on what are the great glycemic targets and what is the benefit of CGM. I think we're all convinced that it's there, but I think it's powerful to have those data.
Yeah, I completely agree. I look forward to kind of seeing more. And I mean, you're right, because my take on it is I think not everyone knows how to use CGM in pregnancy because we're so used to like we focus on fasting and like 1 hour postprandial. And now you've got all this data and kind of how do you use it to really improve outcomes? And I believe it can, but you've got to really understand how to combine time and range with kind of the fasting and the postprandial. I do want to say I love the feature about how now in the Clarity, the Dexcom Clarity, you can mark the fasting. As long as someone, you know, wakes up, they can announce like when they're waking up and that kind of will show you the percentage of time they're meeting their fasting goal. And that you can also do that for 1 or 2 hour postprandial. So that's something like I use a lot in my practice. And I think it's, again, it's one of these amazing features that exist that I just don't think like everyone is aware of. So
yeah. Yes, I presented that at diabetes technology meeting, but I think you're right. It's one of those things where sort of like a select few maybe hear it in a meeting and really we need great people like you to help communicate the message so that it gets out there more broadly, you know, and also being able to customize the target range, right? So being able to indicate like a pregnancy specific target range is another feature of the app that I think not everybody is aware of. One other thing is the Imagine study is going on right now. And so it's, you know, screening pregnant women early on in their pregnancy for dysglycemia and then using CGM as an intervention for those that have higher, you know, time above 140 and then being able to assess whether or not that improves health outcomes. And so, you know, that those results are, you know, a few years out, but I think what I believe we will find is that being able to use CGM early on in pregnancy may help prevent the development of gestational diabetes.
Yeah, no, we're actually one of the sites for that at Cleveland Clinic. And I'm really excited about what the results may show. And I believe that when we typically test for gestational diabetes, like between weeks 24 and 28, that may already be too late. Like there's already some dysglycemia happening earlier. So kind of we talked about a lot of different things today and there's so many new things that have come out. Anything you could share about what's up and coming or that maybe you're particularly excited about in this year to come?
Yeah, I am most excited about people being able to use Smart Basal. I think this is going to really simplify the starting of basal insulin for people with type 2 diabetes. And I think will be a great benefit for both healthcare providers and for people with diabetes. So I'm most excited about that. I think G7 15 day as well. You know, we have got many thousands of users on that. And I think great opportunity for people. And it does require a new prescription. So just kind of a reminder, like to your listeners that are healthcare providers that as you see patients, then think about prescribing G7 15 day because they will need a new prescription for that. We talked a little bit about our next generation sensors at ATTD. And so something that we're always looking on how do we best innovate. And, you know, you can expect from Dexcom that we'll continue to make the sensor smaller, continuing to improve accuracy and usability, both for people with diabetes as well as for healthcare providers.
Awesome. Well, that is so great to hear. I want to thank you so much, Jessica Castle, for being on our podcast today. So much interesting info. And I want to thank our listeners and viewers for tuning in. And that wraps up this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives.